Welcome to The Checkout. This week we do a special episode on the facts around food apartheid in the United States. Hope you enjoy.
Let's talk about food apartheid. So first, setting the table, the origins of the U.S. food system. It's a quote from Professor Raj Patel. From farm to fork, America's food system has been rooted in the exploitation of women, Native Americans, and people of color. This is at the heart of capitalist food politics, big corporations taking as much as they can and paying as little as possible for it. So the food system is based off of plantation economics. After the Civil War and the emancipation of slaves, land was virtually given away to whites through the Homestead Act and the Dawes Act. At the same time as Reconstruction fell in the South, Native American lands were appropriated, Chinese and Japanese were precluded from land ownership. In the 20th century, thousands of Black farmers were displaced or chased off the farms they built after Reconstruction. The consolidation of rural land benefited white landowners and conventional agribusiness. Farm workers lacked basic labor protections that the rest of us take for granted since being excluded from New Deal era labor reforms. Farm workers who are majority Latin American immigrant have been exploited by generations of farmers, big and small, and consumers have been inured to prices not taking into account the dignity and well-being of farm workers. So this is the foundation. So food apartheid, why do we use the word food apartheid? Instead of food desert, is food apartheid because food apartheid looks at the whole food system along with race, geography, faith, and economics. You say a food apartheid and you get to the root cause of some of the problems around the food system. That quote was from Karen Washington, a member of Rise and Root Farm Collective and a longtime urban gardener and food justice activist in the Bronx, New York. Let's talk about food insecurity. 43.5% of Americans live in poverty or low-income households, often just one emergency or missed paycheck away from falling below the poverty line. Racial disparities in food insecurity, which predate the pandemic, worsened last year. 21% of Black and 17% of Hispanic households experienced food insecurity in 2020, an increase from 2019. At the same time, white households facing food insecurity declined from 7.9% to 7.1%. In the week before Christmas 2020, about 81 million Americans, or one in four, experienced food insecurity, meaning in the so-called richest country in the world, folks didn't have reliable access to sufficient nutritious food needed for a healthy, active life. College graduates experienced food insecurity at a rate of just 5% last year. For those without a high school degree, the rate skyrocketed to 27%. Adults who have a disability and are not in the workforce also experienced more than two times the rate of food insecurity. In late June, 27.5% of households with children were food insecure, meaning some 13.9 million children live in a household characterized by child food insecurity. A separate analysis found food insecurity has more than tripled among households with children to nearly 29.5%. Households led by single women with children have among the highest rates of food insecurity, with nearly one in three struggling to put food on the table before the pandemic hit. In 2020 fiscal year, U.S. federal spending on food and nutritional assistance reached a record high $122 billion, providing expanded benefits and pandemic-related flexibility for safety net programs like SNAP, WIC, and pandemic EBT. 42.3 million people, or 20% of U.S. adults, and 22.1 million households were enrolled in SNAP as of April 2021, with the total monthly benefit cost of $9.6 billion. In 2020, at least 60 million Americans, more than 1.5 times the 38.3 million people the USDA classified as food insecure, rely on food banks, food pantries, or other charitable food assistance programs, 50% increase from 2019. 80% of the folks who got a stimulus check in the spring spent it on food. So low-income families can face many barriers to food insecurity, from lacking transportation, living far from a grocery store, or deeper challenges like illness, disability, addiction, or mental health issues. About 19 million people, or roughly 6% of the U.S. population, live in what the USDA classifies as, quote, food deserts. A 2010 estimate from the USDA found that groceries sold in such areas can cost significantly more than groceries sold in suburban markets, meaning people in low-income communities impacted by food insecurity often pay more money for their food. The definition of a, quote, food desert can change depending on where you live. In urban settings, you need to live more than a mile away from a supermarket. For rural areas, it's greater than 10 miles. Rural areas are slightly more likely to be food deserts than urban areas, and they make up 87% of the counties with the highest rates of food insecurity. In terms of food apartheid, we need to talk about exploitation and wealth extraction from workers in the food system. Black and Latin Americans were more likely to hold jobs in sectors like hotels or restaurants, which suffered the highest layoffs during the pandemic, and more likely to contract COVID-19, many working in frontline jobs such as service or hospitality that couldn't be done remotely. Essential workers have faced decades of wage stagnation. If wages had kept pace with productivity, we would have a $24 an hour minimum wage. If minimum wage rates had increased at the same rate as Wall Street bonuses since 1985, it would be worth $44 an hour. Seen from another angle, working and middle-class people have been robbed of nearly $50 trillion in income since 1975, or $2.5 trillion annually, approximately the cost of our 20-year debacle in Afghanistan. Chronically low wages mean that workers, even working full-time, can't cover the basic cost of living. Long before the pandemic hit, millions of low-income workers were fighting to survive each month, living paycheck to paycheck, skipping meals to save money to pay the rent or medical bills. Low wages are key to understanding why so many Americans experience food insecurity. Federal minimum wage has been $7.25 since 2009. Studies show that approximately 6 million workers will be lifted out of poverty. The minimum wage will raise to at least $10.10, and 60% will be people of color. In 2019, 22.2 million full and part-time jobs were related to the agriculture and food sectors, 11% of total U.S. employment. At least half of the 10 lowest paid jobs in the U.S. are in the food industry. Even before the pandemic, farms were among the most dangerous places to work in the country, where low-paid workers have little protection from long hours, repetitive strain injuries, exposures to pesticides, dangerous machinery, extreme heat, and animal waste. Between 50% and 75% of the country's 2.5 million farm workers are undocumented migrants who have few labor rights and limited access to occupational health care. Median hourly wage for persons of color is 22% lower than for white Americans. Latin and indigenous Americans have two times the rate of uninsured as the national average. Foreign-born Latin workers experience 31% more lost workdays from injury compared to white workers. Now, a quick glimpse at the tech sector. There are approximately 65,000 app-based delivery workers in New York City. Excluding tips, which represent on average 44% of their earnings and a highly unstable form of income, the average net pay of app-based delivery workers amounts to $7.87. 49% have been in an accident or car crash while doing a delivery. 75% said they paid for medical care with their own personal funds. 54% reported having experienced bike theft. And about 30% of these said they were physically assaulted during this robbery. 83% report being denied access to a bathroom at a restaurant where they have gone to pick up an order. Let's talk about the externalized costs and subsidies of the U.S. food system. In 2019, American consumers spent an estimated $1.1 trillion on food. That price tag included the cost of producing, processing, retailing, wholesaling the food we buy and eat. Does not include the cost of healthcare for the millions who fall ill with diet-related diseases. Nor does $1.1 trillion include the present and future costs of the food system's contributions to water and air pollution, reduced biodiversity, or greenhouse gas emissions, which cause climate change. Take these costs into account and it becomes clear the true cost of the U.S. food system is at least three times as big, $3.2 trillion per year. The true cost of food disproportionately burdens people of color, who are more likely to suffer from diet-related diseases, have less access to water and sanitation, and often work in food production jobs for less than a living wage. Unaccounted costs across all issue areas disproportionately impact communities of color. The externalized costs of the food system on the environment and biodiversity add up to almost $900 billion per year. This disproportionate amount is borne by approximately 11 million producers and workers in the food system, the majority of whom are Black and Indigenous people of color, undocumented immigrants, and or communities that are marginalized and underserved. Rates of diagnosed diabetes are 1.7 times higher in Latin Americans than white Americans and 1.5 times higher in Black Americans than white Americans. Air pollution exposure is 25% higher for Black Americans compared to the national average and 41% higher compared to white Americans. Indigenous Americans are 19 times more likely to have reduced water sanitation access than white Americans. Black Americans shoulder 1.3 times the proportional burden or cost of exposure to pesticides and fertilizers. Yet larger farmers received $65 billion in subsidies from the Trump administration, and industries such as the big meat industry receive up to $38 billion in subsidies annually. In the U.S., subsidies have historically benefited white farmers more than farmers of color, as evidenced by the $2.3 billion in settlement for class action lawsuits in 1997 and 2010, filed on behalf of Black farmers for discriminatory practices in the USDA agricultural loan program. This agricultural support of subsidies damages people's health, fuels the climate crisis, destroys nature, and drives inequality. The biggest sources of greenhouse gas emissions, such as conventional beef and subsidies. Yet globally, more than 800 million people experienced chronic hunger in 2020, and 3 billion are unable to afford a healthy diet, while 2 billion people are obese or overweight, and a third of food is wasted. The total damage caused has been estimated at $12 trillion a year, more than the value of the food produced. So let's talk a bit about the corporate control of the food system. During the 2020 election cycle, the food industry spent $175 million on political contributions, including lobbying by PACs and individuals and other efforts. Just four companies, Walmart, Costco, Kroger, and Ahold, control 65% of the retail market. Only 15 cents of every dollar we spend in the supermarket goes to farmers. The rest goes to processing and marketing. A handful of powerful companies control the majority market share of almost 80% of dozens of grocery items bought regularly by ordinary Americans. A few powerful transnational companies dominate every link of the supply chain, from seeds and fertilizers to slaughterhouses and supermarkets to cereals and beers. Retailers at the commanding heights of the food system and supply chain leverage the pandemic to generate enormous profits for a small handful of shareholders and executives while sharing little with the workers that kept everything going. The wealth of the Walton family alone has grown by $40.7 billion during the pandemic, nearly 26 times the amount of all hazard pay for all 1.5 million Walmart associates. Jeff Bezos earned $73 billion. Amazon workers got 95 cents per hour. Amazon has paid frontline workers less than $1 per hour extra over the course of the pandemic. Between Walmart and Amazon, the two largest retail companies, also the two largest private employers in the country, they nearly employ 3 million workers. Amazon and Walmart drove the lion's share of growth in profits during the pandemic, over $10.9 billion in additional profit. The Walton family added $45 billion to its wealth, while Walmart workers got 63 cents per hour. Kroger, the nation's largest full-service grocery, canceled hero pay, yet authorized 2 billion stock repurchases in the last year and reported over 2 billion in profits in just the first half of 2020, a 90% increase over the same period from 2019. Grocery chains and superstores are also the main beneficiaries of government food aid that Americans need to feed their struggling families. In 2020, 82% of all food stamps were spent in supermarkets and superstores like Kroger, Walmart, Costco, and Sam's Club, which means taxpayers contributed $64 billion to their revenue. We'd be amiss if we didn't conclude by talking about the impact of COVID-19 on the food system and how that has affected food apartheid. The COVID-19 pandemic held a mirror up to our food system. The pandemic ratified the great failure of the industrial food system and showed to the whole world the depth of the structural inequalities, discrimination, exploitation, racism, and sexism prevalent in our societies, exacerbating their consequences on hunger, health, and poverty. COVID-19 was also the first real stress test that our food system and supply chains have experienced in the 21st century. The pandemic highlighted the deep fissures in the industry and ripped away the pretense of, quote, sustainable food, and showed that we have made little progress moving past our food system's origins in plantation slavery, Native American genocide, and land theft. The impacts of COVID-19 in the food and ag sectors have been most felt acutely by the essential workers foundational to the supply chain. At least 1,453 meatpacking and food processing plants and 438 farms and food production facilities had confirmed cases of COVID-19. At least 91,000 processing workers and 39,000 grocery workers have tested positive for COVID-19, and at least 465 processing and 178 grocery workers have died. Thousands of family members of food system workers who also got sick and or died from COVID-19, and many who caught the virus still experience symptoms, and many essential workers are still fearful for their safety and angry at working conditions. Stress and trauma are widespread and are compounded by low pay, long hours, angry customers, and many of the issues already recounted.